So I would say that if I had to sum up Buddhism, Buddhism really is asking us to show up and say yes to all of life, to really show up, be fully present, fully heart-opened, saying yes to everything. And of course, that's hard to do. And I was thinking about this topic because last week I talked about the chakras, and then in the discussion we got talking a little more about the lower chakras and some issues with the lower chakras. And as I've said many times before, I think it's often true among spiritual people, Bay Area liberal spiritual people, that we're all kind of, we tend to be very open in upper chakras. We tend to be, you know, heart open and compassionate and have all these great ideals and be on board with all these spiritual ideals. But then the parts of life that challenge us tend to be more stuff with lower chakras. Now, whether that's job or money or cars or living space or sex or romance or body issues or, you know, anything like that, it's lower chakra stuff where we need to develop more. There are a lot of energy healers that I've heard say, you know, walk around in the Bay Area, you see a lot of top-heavy people. It's like, you know, on, off kind of thing going on. And so I thought it might be worthwhile to talk more about the lower chakras, to focus on the three lower chakras. And so I entitled this talk, Healing into Life. Because if I'm open up here, but I'm closed down here, I may be a very kind person, I may have wonderful ideals, but I'm not having a vital experience. I'm not having an experience of being alive. And that it's really by opening these three lower chakras and being occupying them that we have a more vital experience. We taste life rather than just look at it. As you may know, the chakras sort of have a developmental sequence, and when a person is born, first it's an opportunity for their first chakra to develop, then their second chakra and third chakra, and the typical sequence is that as we move through life, the higher chakras open. Of course, there are many people who very early on in life have open upper chakras. Sometimes these people are called old souls, as if, you know, perhaps they were somewhere else where their upper chakras got opened and they bring that into this life. But it's often where childhood wounding hits us is in the lower three chakras. And so I wanted to talk about the lower three chakras, and in particular, the way that childhood wounding shows up in the lower three chakras and can be a kind of limiting factor, something that prevents us from showing up fully and saying yes to life and enjoying life for what it is. And so I want to talk about healing as part of this. And it strikes me that there's really two very important words that just sum up what healing is. So much of emotional energetic healing is simply attention and love. And if you just think about it, in ordinary life, when you give someone loving attention, that's usually something that the person experiences as healing. In fact, if I give someone loving attention, it's healing for them. It's often healing for me also to give that kind of attention. Because it's often it's really a law of energy healing that when you give a healing, you get a healing. And so attention and love are very important parts of healing. And then there's another part, and this might sound a little odd, but curiosity. And curiosity, I really think of as it doesn't get nearly enough credit. Curiosity is really one of the most spiritual of all skills. And by curiosity, I don't mean being inquisitive and like wanting to know about other people's business and that kind of thing, but just more the open-ended sense of curiosity. You know, say the curiosity of, you know, in this room, there people have meditated for years. What kind of experiences have they had? Where are those people now? You know, there are other people who built this building. What were their lives like? You know, and I may not know any of the answers. Part of this curiosity is just there's not even an attachment to answer or outcome, but it's just about opening us in wonder. And so it's about focusing attention and love and even a sense of curiosity on the energies that we're getting from the three lower chakras. Now, another piece of this I want to talk about also before I talk about the chakras. The more primitive parts of us tend to communicate to us in narrative form. They produce stories. And they throw up these stories to the head. And the head is funny. Like, the head is sort of the original fundamentalist. Like, the head just, like, gets the story and says, oh, a story. I have to believe it's literal truth, you know, this sort of thing. It just, like, gets drunk on the story. And what's important about the story is the emotional content of the story. And if we can get curious, if we can, you know, ignore, like, the literal reading, but tap into the emotional content and then get curious, where in my body is this emotion arising? What part of me is sending up this emotion? Often the wounded places in us are very young. They're like young children. And of course, anyone who has raised children or worked with children, you know, like children that are, say, 3 or 4 years old, they always want your attention, right? Like, you're, you know, look at this, look what I'm doing, look at, you know, it's just like this constant, you know, attention, attention, attention. And much in the same way, these young childish parts of us want attention. So how do they get attention if it's a part of us that's holding something like fear or shame or guilt or something like that? It's going to throw up a story that's going to make us experience that emotion, and it gets our attention. And so, again, it's not about believing the narrative. It's about giving attention to what needs attention. Now, when I say narrative, I mean, certainly dreams are narratives. Daydreams are also narratives. And daydreams, fantasies, just sort of wherever our mind goes when it's idle, that's pure gold to observe. You know, there'll be times that I'll be walking along just a, you know, walking to or from work, you know, just a quiet, peaceful street in Berkeley, and then some thought or memory or something will come up in my mind, and all of a sudden I'll be having some, like, extreme life or death scenario, something where I'm having to fight for my existence or something like this, and then I realize, wait, I'm walking on, like, this perfectly peaceful street, like, flowers and cats and stuff, like, I'm completely safe, you know, but I'm having, you know, and I think this is kind of a typical experience. I mean, I'm imagining I'm not the only person in the room who has this, like, you know, we're perfectly at peace, we're relaxing in a nice garden, and then our head, you know, some kind of crazy thing, and suddenly it's like a life or death scenario that we're running through, you know. And so it's just important to get curious about these stories and curious about where's the emotion coming from. What's the place in me that is sending up this story? So at this point, I'll start talking about the chakras a little bit. And I'll hand out, I have this lovely picture that actually has some stylistic drawings of the chakras. So you get color pictures and everything. There might be a couple extras. You can just collect them in the back there. I got one. So the first chakra, the Muladhara, this is sometimes known as the root chakra, and this is at the perineum. So the perineum is between our legs, behind the genitals, in front of the anus, that very sensitive, private place on our body. The associated element is the earth. The associated endocrine gland are the adrenals. When we're relaxed, the adrenals can relax and they can chill out. And then when we're shocked, for example, when there's an earthquake or something, then suddenly, then it doesn't feel safe. Our root chakra pulls up and our adrenals are activated. In the Freudian system, I didn't write down, but in the Freudian system, the root chakra corresponds to what Freud called the oral stage, where oral, because the oral mode for a very young child, for an infant, you know, 3 months or younger, oral is their principal experience, and it's their only mode of survival. The reason the child survives is because it has this oral interaction with its mother, or with the bottle, whatever. And so, certainly one clue to what might be going on with the root chakra is what Freud called oral fixations. You know, oral fixations are, sometimes it's overeating, or sometimes it's, you know, excessively, you know, arcane rules about what I can and cannot eat, or something like that. It's, you know, all that stuff about, like, putting pens in your mouth and, you know, tapping your teeth with the pen or whatever tool. You know, overeating, alcohol, smoking, toking, you know, there's all kinds of oral habits. Nail biting. Of course, I go almost everywhere with a water bottle, which is perhaps a slightly more healthy oral fixation. And again, not to judge, not to say that it's wrong, but it's simply, it's information. You know, again, to get curious about it. Like, don't invent another story about how you're bad or something, but just get curious. You know, what's going on there? What feeling am I having when I do that? What feeling am I having if I feel like doing it and I don't do it? What experience is that? And where does that experience live in my body? Erik Erikson talked about the 8 stages of life, and his first 3 mirror Freud's first 3 stages. And he talked about this choice as a fundamental choice between trust and mistrust. That very basic trust ideally occurs if the child has an ideal experience in their first 3 months, then they learn to trust the world. And so trust is a huge part of the root chakra. Do I trust life? Do I trust being here? Do I trust how it feels to be in the world? You know, and just to notice these things. Other issues related to the first chakra, I list a few there. Survival, groundedness, body, home, family, foundation, anything that's giving us support. You know, am I able to generate financial support for myself? Am I able to generate emotional support for myself? All these issues. Am I able to be present and really feel like I'm here in the world? All of these are first chakra issues. And the fantasies that we would tend to have, the sort of fears, and, you know, a lot of times fear, anxiety, all these things can generate narratives in our head. First chakra issues would be things about things that threaten our survival. You know, like suddenly I have a fantasy about the car, like swerving across, you know, swerving up onto the sidewalk and taking me out. Or, you know, I happen to eat the one food in the supermarket that's been poisoned by the lunatic, and, you know, or whatever it is. Like, whatever weird concoction we create in our head where our survival is threatened, you know? And just to notice that. Again, it's just information. And to, you know, in what way can you turn that into more, as an opportunity to send more love and attention to your root chakra? And just love and attention just for being physically here and being physically in the world. The second chakra, Svadhisthana. And so this is right around here, a couple inches below the navel. It's the Dantian point in Chinese medicine, the center of qi in the whole body, associated with the water element. And so one way to think about this chakra is just, how do we deal with the watery aspects of life? The aspects of life that are in flow, the aspects of life that are in change, are we comfortable with that? Can we go with the flow? Or do we get like, you know, and try and block the flow? And are we more comfortable we can, you know, stop the flow rather than allow the flow? In Chinese medicine, water is governed by the kidney liver system, the bladder kidney system. And in the bladder kidney system, if the qi is off in that system, in Chinese medicine, they say that leads to the experience of fear. We experience the watery element of life and we react with fear. We close down. Fear is a very second chakra kind of emotion. But if we are comfortable with the flow of life, then the virtue we have is adaptability. And so I like that the opposite of fear is encouraged. The opposite of fear is adaptability. And adaptability is a very second chakra skill. Can I go with the flow? Can I dance with life? Second chakra is associated very strongly with sexuality. It's associated with exercise, with dance, with anything where the body is being physical, anything where you're being an animal and enjoying the animality, the mammalian qualities of the human body. The glands associated with the testes and the ovaries, and of course the testes and the ovaries, they make the sex, they make the gametes, they make sperm and egg, but they also make hormones. They make testosterone, estrogen, and progesterone. All three of those hormones cross the blood-brain barrier and act in the brain as neurotransmitters. And so men literally think and feel with testosterone. Women literally think and feel with estrogen in different proportions at different times in their cycle. And all three of these are really, they're very feel-good chemicals of life. You know, when our bodies are full of these, it feels good. We feel alive. We feel healthy and strong and vital and all that. In Erickson's system, the skill that we learn in this stage is autonomy versus shame and doubt. And so shame, doubt, fear, these are all very much second chakra emotions. So if you're recognizing these as something you're struggling with, probably a very good occasion to give yourself a lot of love and attention in the second chakra. Second chakra also corresponds to what Freud calls the anal stage. And the anal stage covers all kinds of dynamics of what I might call retention and release. And so there might be some people who they want their living space or their where they work or something completely neat, completely spotless. And they get all, you know, if anything's messed up, they get all bent out of shape about it. Or there's other people who just, they need a mess anywhere. And if someone comes and cleans it up, they really feel disoriented or offended by that. There are some people who are constant hoarders. They tend to be more on the messy side. There are other people who are constant purgers. You know, and again, all of these are about getting stuck at one extreme or the other rather than being able to go with the flow, being able to respond with discrimination in each case separately. You know, instead of that, being stuck in like, you know, must get rid of everything, must keep everything kind of thing. And then it plays out in many other ways, the ways that we handle verbal energy, the way we handle sexual energy, the way we handle emotional energy. There's some people that something happens and there's this flood of emotional energy. Other people, you know, could be the biggest thing possible. You know, your house burned down. How's that? Not so bad. You know, and just like there's no energy. And so again, retention and release in many different forms. How we spend money. Some people save all the time. Some people spend all the time. And so this has to do with change, movement, exercise, polarity, emotions, pleasure, sexuality, sensuality, intimacy, fluidity. And so among the second chakra issues are just, how does it feel to dance? Does it feel wonderful? Is it something you don't like to do? How does it feel to exercise? Some people love exercise. Some people hate it, you know. What about sexuality? How do you feel about being a sexual being? What does it mean to feel like a sexual being? What does it mean for another person to look at you as a sexual being? You know, what does that bring up? You know, and again, just notice it. There may be all kinds of narratives you have around. I mean, we all have all kinds of narratives around sexuality and romance and all that. Just notice these narratives, you know, and just be gentle with yourself around these issues. They're very sensitive issues. The third chakra, Manipura, is the solar chakra right here, sometimes called the power center. This is associated with the element fire because there is tremendous energy in this chakra potentially. And it's really called the power center in many ways. Associated with the endocrine, in the endocrine gland, associated with the pancreas. And this is kind of a mix of the Ericksonian stages. It kind of combines a few. Initiative versus guilt and industry versus inferiority. And so again, just notice if any of those words carry any charge for you, if narratives come up when you hear any of those words. Fundamentally, do you see yourself as a powerful person? What does it mean for you to be connected to your power? What impact does it have on others if you show up as a powerful person? All of these are third chakra kinds of questions. In what situations do you feel powerful, and in what situations do you feel powerless? You know, and again, get curious about any narratives we have. Narratives about, oh, I have a lot of power here, or narratives about, oh, I'm totally powerless there. Again, those narratives may or may not be true, but it's important to notice those narratives. What's going on there? Where is that narrative coming from? And just to get curious about it. And so some further terms associated with the third chakra: power, will, energy, metabolism, ease, humor, control. This would be more control over other people or control over situations. Assertiveness, aggression, transformation, spiritual warrior. So some of the not so healthy ways that the third chakra can come out: it can come out as a very controlling person, or a person who's very aggressive, a person who needs other people to behave in certain ways. A more positive way it can come out with is just with tremendous humor, just this sense of playfulness, just the sense of being at ease. And that comes with very healthy boundaries. And boundaries are very tricky because I have bad boundaries if I'm letting everything in and I'm getting totally, you know, manipulated by people and pushed around. So that's one problem with boundaries. Another problem with boundaries is if I have like this, you know, concrete wall of boundaries and nothing impacts me and I have no empathy or anything. And again, this is where the second chakra has a connection to the third chakra. Do I get stuck in this one, like, you know, completely open or completely closed? Or can I do this adapting, opening up when it feels safe and then being more guarded when it doesn't feel safe? It's really the second and third chakras that tell us when a situation is safe. See, again, the head thinks it knows everything. The head is trying to figure out, like it's doing these calculations. Is it safe here? Should it be safe? You know, the head has no idea. This thing can be totally confused. In fact, anyone who wants to manipulate us, they're going to be very good at fooling the head. But these chakras, if you can really trust what you're feeling in these lower chakras, this is where you'll get the sense of, this feels good, or, ooh, I don't know about this. You know, that's where you really have that sense. And it's so important to trust that core sense that we have, because it's a much deeper sense of knowing than this is. So I'll just read the quotes on the back here. Quotes on healing into life. Yeah, and it's just a wide variety of quotes here. If there's no struggle, there's no progress. Frederick Douglass. So just about the effort that it takes. And it's really an effort of attention and an effort of love that we have to heal more deeply into life. Mr. Gandhi tells us, this is a very, very famous quote, you must be the change you wish to see in the world. And And Gandhi was an extraordinary example. He had a tremendous heart. He had a tremendous, you know, brow chakra and crown chakra, all these great spiritual principles, but he could bring this down into the world in a concrete way and live it out in a vital, actual way in his action. And that's really what, in this quote, what he's calling all of us to do. You know, I think there should be peace and love in the world. Can I live that in my actions in a grounded way? Can I ground those ideals in the real world? A wonderful one from Khalil Gibran. Forget not that the earth delights to feel your bare feet and the wind longs to play with your hair. I love that. It's just a very sensual enjoyment of life. It's funny because I think this word sensuality in our modern society, it's been so relegated to sexuality, like the only time you're sensual is in a sexual experience. You know, there's so much of life that is sensual. You know, feeling, smelling and feeling the fresh spring air. You know, looking at a flower, feeling the texture of a tree. Like, there's so much that is sensual in life and a sensual pleasure. And it's very important. It's really a very healthy second chakra practice to allow ourselves to enjoy sort of the innocence of sensuality. Dr. Joyce Brothers tells us, real intimacy is only possible to the degree that we can be honest about what we are doing and feeling. And this is very much about tapping into the lower chakras. And incidentally, I'll point out that having a healthy third chakra is enormously important for having a healthy connection between love and sexuality. There are a lot of people in the world who experience sex without love, they experience love without sex, and really having a healthy third chakra and healthy boundaries and a healthy sense of power is what allows us to coordinate those so that we're experiencing both together and not one without the other. Jim Rohn says, effective communication is 20% what you know and 80% about how you feel about what you know. And it's so true that, you know, the head thinks that information and the verbal content of words, that that's everything. But we really know it's the emotional impact that with which we speak, that is what really communicates to people, you know. It's our excitement, our passion, our aliveness that communicates to people, not the verbal content. You know, and I don't have the quote here, but there's a similar quote from Maya Angelou. They'll never remember what you said. They'll remember how you made them feel. This wonderful one from the theologian Henri Nouwen. If fear is the great enemy of intimacy, love is its true friend. And it's true, intimacy is very, very scary. It's deeply rewarding, and it's very, very scary to be that open and vulnerable to another human being. And so it's important to honor that we're doing something very courageous anytime we're entering into any kind of intimacy with a friend or with a lover. Michael Gruber says, I think this is from a novel, but it turns out that people who are grounded and secure don't change much under stress. That's what being grounded means. From Bob Dylan, we get the wisdom, he not busy being born is busy dying. From the writer Isabel Allende, we don't know how strong we are until we are forced to bring that hidden strength forward. In times of tragedy, war, of necessity, people do amazing things. The human capacity for survival and renewal is awesome. And it is true that, you know, often if we live relatively safe lives, we don't necessarily experience these depths. And it's almost, you know, not that you necessarily should be jumping in front of cars or anything, but, you know, sometimes even like taking a backpacking trip where you're really just entering the unknown, like putting yourself face to face with the unknown, you experience that my strength is more than what I thought it was. My reserves are more than what I thought it was. And that's always a very healthy experience for ourselves to have again and again. from this spiritual writer whom I don't know, Jean-Yves Liop. To be grounded is an attitude of compassion. In an attitude of compassion is to be capable of receiving and welcoming the suffering which is the other, which the other is giving us. It does not mean that we suffer for them, but we offer them the possibility of going beyond the separate self in which suffering is harbored. That's a difficult quote. Mm-hmm. From Dean Ornish, connections with other people affect not only the quality of our lives, but our survival. And it's actually true. I mean, for our physical health, for our emotional health, we need each other. We need authentic connection. We need community. And so it's very important to acknowledge that, because so much of the message of America is like the self-made man who doesn't need anyone, you know, and that's a myth. The amazing sage Oprah Winfrey tells us, passion is energy. Feel the power that comes from focusing on what excites you. And then the actress and model Hannah Simone tells us, physical intimacy is easy, emotional intimacy is hard.